is a dynamic communicator whose emphasis on the miraculous with signs and wonders has had a dramatic impact on the body of Christ in Australia and internationally. His forthright and anointed preaching, coupled with a great manifestation of power, has seen thousands saved, healed, set free, drastically changed, filled with God's mighty fire, and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. This teaching will challenge and motivate you to a whole new dimension of God's power.
And he's just been up in Brisbane for the week at the Christian Outreach Centre's National Conference. And I thought, that's amazing, got an AOG speaker at their conference. But we had 4,000 there on Friday night. Spirit of God fell. It's been awesome. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let's just reach out to God before we preach the word this morning. Father, we thank you for the mighty moving of your Spirit. Pray, Lord, that my preaching today would not be with the persuasive words of the wisdom of men, but Father, let it be with the demonstration of your Spirit and power. Lord, that our faith may not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Let your word be anointed. Let your word be strong. Let it be with fire. Let it be with power. May it touch. May it go deep within us this morning. We give you praise now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take your seats, friends. There's been a theme for a few weeks in the area of stewardship and finance, and I'm going to talk this morning about giving in a drought. Giving in a drought. And I believe that, for me, giving is as much part of my whole life as a Christian as anything else. It is as important as anything else. In fact, the giving aspect of our ministry is as vital to my own heart as the actual preaching and laying on of hands. I was just with a man this week who is in Poland, and his gifting, or the thing that God has used him to do, is to release Jews out of Poland, to get them out of Poland and get them into areas of Israel. And every day he's feeding 75,000 people. And as I talk with him, a very humble man, a very quiet man, very humble, but as he would talk, I'd look in the eye of that man and the tears would well up, and I just kept seeing Jesus there and seeing the heart of the Lord. And if I'd had $50,000 in the bank, I tell you very honestly, if I'd had $50,000 in the bank, I wouldn't know what $50,000 looks like. My bank account is like you're not going to go near it, everything goes through it so fast. In and out, it's hello, some finances here, there it goes, bye-bye. Gee, that was good watching that go through. It's a danger area. But if I had $50,000 in my bank account, I would have said to him, here you are, take that, please. Because of this El Nino effect around the world, all sorts of countries are going to be affected in a most terrible way. They're predicting in Poland that the freeze this year will be so bad that they estimate between 100,000 and 800,000 people will die of starvation, malnutrition and cold. And he began to describe stories of going into units and houses where people with absolutely not a blanket, not even a blanket, no clothes to keep them warm, are just huddled together living on one meal a week, trying to survive in conditions so cold that they were literally freezing to death. And I thought, God, we've got the best of everything. And I don't know about you, but in my heart, I believe the Spirit of God is knocking on the door of the hearts of Christians. We've got everything in this country. And I believe God's stirring us and saying, lift up your eyes to a starving, dying, hurting world. Look to a world that is going to hell very, very rapidly. The world is in chaos and confusion. Things are happening all over the earth. There is a desperate need, and God is knocking on the hearts of the church and saying, I want you to be a source of blessing to all the families on the earth. I want you to bless all the families on planet earth. I shared last time, we talked on giving, very, very honestly, that for Jackie and I, the passion of our heart is to bless families all over the earth. That is the passion of our heart. To give and give and give and give of any resource that God can trust us with, to pour it out, to pour it out, to pour it out. And the incredible thing is that as you do, God says, I will multiply seed to the sower. I'll multiply your seed. In the last year, we were able to invest into the developing nations of the earth and into missions probably a little over $100,000 last year. And we're believing God this year to increase that. That's money that I didn't even understand a few years ago. But I want God to look at me and say, Tim, I trust you with finance. And I can trust you with 100, I'll trust you with 1,000. If I can trust you with 1,000, I'll trust you with 1,000,000. I want God to look, and you do too. I want him to look at me and say, I can trust that man with great amounts of wealth because I know that his heart, his desire is to put it to the nations. And I believe that we need a miracle manifestation of the power of God in the realm of giving. How many believe that the whole dimension of giving is supernatural? I'm going to ask God, I'm going to pray again, because I really want this to get into our spirits this morning. Father, I pray that the word will be indelibly branded into our spirit this morning. Father, touch us now and do something very powerful in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Kings. Don't turn to the cannibal chapter, 2 Kings 8:1. I hate that. It's too bloodthirsty. Or 1 Corinthians 8:2. Let's turn to 1 Kings 17. It concerns a man called Elijah the Tishbite. Sorry, Elijah the Tishbite. This man who suddenly appears on the page of Scripture. A little insignificant man in the natural from a place called Tishbe in Gilead, where men had very little education. They all got around with the smell of sheep dip on them. They were desert shepherds in a harsh, foreboding land. And out of it, God brought forth a little man, probably with little or no education, and brought him before God as King Ahab. And he walked in there, stood up before King Ahab and said, King Ahab, as God liveth, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, it says in verse 1, there shall not be dew nor rain until I say so. The sky is going to be dried up. The God Baal, the God who rides on the clouds, is not going to have anything to ride on. Elijah declared and commanded, and Baal's bike was taken away. And you know, the devil walks around like a roaring lion. Had one man say he walks around because he can't afford a motor car. The sky was dried up. Baal, who rides on the clouds, had no way to get around. The evidence of him was gone out of the sky. And Elijah said, that's how it's going to be. That is how it's going to be until I say otherwise. Until my word, under the hand of Almighty God, is spoken, there's going to be total famine and total drought in this land. That is how it's going to be. Then after saying that, God said, I think it's a good idea that you make yourself scarce. How many believe that there is a time for a retreat? There's a time, Pastor Paul, isn't there, to retreat? I remember years ago witnessing over in Geelong, and I had a tract, and someone said, go and give it to that guy. He was the wildest looking guy in a restaurant, in a pizza place. And I thought, I don't really want to give it to him. He doesn't look at all friendly. And the guy said, you're a chicken, Hall. I get over there. And I thought, why don't you want to get me to go over there? Well, I wasn't saying you guys are chicken, but they're daring me. So I took the track and went over to this guy, and he took the track and he stood up and he just kept standing. You know those guys that keep standing? And at that point I realized that I wasn't in the will of God. And I said, he suggested a lot of terrible things to me. And I said, sir, as a matter of fact, I was just leaving, and it's really good to talk to you. And have a fantastic day, and zoom, I was out. Retreat. I That might not have been courageous, but I lived to fight another day. And sometimes there's a retreat. And God said to Elijah, go down to the brook Cherith. Let's have a look here. Get thee hence. I love all the old King James English. How many know that God speaks King James? I spent ages trying to work out what hither and thither are. And then I was reading how Elisha took the mantle of Elijah and hit the water with it, and the water divided hither and thither. And God gave me the revelation. I said, God, what are hither and thither? He says, that's the place where water goes when it's divided. It's so simple. We try to make it so complicated. Hither and thither, the place where water goes when divided. Have you ever seen that, Pastor Paul? Have you ever seen that, Pastor Paul? That is some of the most profound grasp of theology. Turn to someone near and just say, hither and thither and thence, thus and whence. Does it go down towards the brook Cherith? That is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, one of the things I really like here is that God had a plan to supply his need. And I want you to look at two scriptures here. Verse 4 says, I have commanded the ravens. And in verse 9 he says, I've commanded a widow to feed you. In the realm of the Spirit, God commands. He is the source of financial blessing. God can speak a word in 1 minute and tell a multimillionaire to give you. Here's the finance to fulfill some situation in your life. Or God can speak into someone's heart and put a word in their heart, and it goes over and over, and they'll have no rest until there is a release of finance or a release of something into your life. Because God commands. And when he commands it into someone's spirit, even a bird, even a raven, which of course is a crow. God commanded the crows, go to Melbourne, bring back the cup. The command was given. St. Kilda were never going to win. God heard me quietly saying, Jesus, oh, how I'd love to see the game, the crows win. I take the full credit. No, I don't. No, I don't. That's a total lie and fabrication. God says, I've commanded ravens to feed you. Now, I don't know how you'd feel if God said, give up everything and move to some desert place by a river. I've commanded crows to come down and feed you. Most Christians would go to the psychiatrist and they'd say, I've gone mad. And most people would tell him, yes, you have gone mad. But he went down by the brook, and the Bible says that God caused the crows, that's the ravens, to bring him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Every morning, a crow came flying in with a lovely big slab of bread, dropped it right into his hands. Another one flew past and dropped a beautifully cooked steak or hamburger onto the bread, and another one came and dropped another slice, giving him a hamburger. Hamburgers, McDonald's for breakfast, and McDonald's in the evening. Supernaturally supplied. Listen, crows are not generous. Ravens are not generous. I have never yet anywhere seen a crow out there give anything. They don't go up to a magpie and say, here, I have found this nice worm. Please feel free to take it. Crows are good. Well, I love the crows. They're my favorite bird. I could really sing the song, but I wouldn't do it in church. I wouldn't do it. No, no, yield. The crow won't give you anything. He takes. The crow is a taker. He sees the silver cup. And he says, I will take that. Never give it back. That is a permanent fixture in South Australia. Does anyone believe that? If the Crows don't have it, the power will. Someone's going to have it. We're having it. Let the tears of Victoria run across the border. The Crow won't give you anything unless God commands. And here are these Crows flying in with a freshly cooked T-bone in the morning. And at night, a nice porterhouse. The following morning, a schnitzel. Week after week, Elijah would look at his time clock, which was just a stick on his wrist. Then he'd be starting to get a bit of an appetite. He'd think, yes, any minute now. One day a Crow came in with a bottle of Heinz tomato sauce. Just to... Well, that's probably not true. And the Bible does say that if you add anything to the scripture, you're going to be cursed. So delete that from the tape, just in case God watches the tape. How many know that God's got a sense of humor? He's going to look around. He's going to look around this building. So obvious. I think God has hilariously laughed. Little Jonathan has got the greatest hairstyle I've ever seen in my life. Where is he? He has got the most incredible hairstyle. God made it. That little fella just made it. I just look at him. I love him. He's got the hair. And he looks at you just like a little tiny Russell. He looks like a little tiny Russell. He's got some of those cheeky little mischievous face. But God made him to make us laugh and enjoy. Is that true, Russ? Are you offended? Sent ravens. God commanded into a bird, take him meat. I don't know about you, but I believe that this story is true. And if that's the case, God can speak into anything to supply to you. One of the great keys in finance is to know that your job is not your source, that your employer is not your source, but God is your source. You might be just about flat broke. Totally broke. And this week you'll have a wombat arrive at your doorstep with a check for 10 grand between his teeth. God can do it. You say, that is ridiculous. And it probably won't happen. But God commanded the crows and the ravens to deliver, and to deliver on time, meat, bread, and they delivered, they swooped in, and they laid bread and meat for him morning and night, morning and night. Our God is our source. God can speak into anything to release finance. Then the Bible says that the brook began to dry up because there'd been no rain in the land. Verse 7. The brook began to dry up. There are times in our finances. The quickest way God can get my attention, there are many ways he can, but the quickest way he can get my attention is with finance. Probably more with the lack of it. Some of you, the only way he can get your attention is when the finance dries up. Is that true? My wife says to me, that's how God gets you. The brook dried up. That didn't mean that God had stopped providing. That meant that God wanted Elijah to go to him and say, what changes do I need to make? He could have sat there waiting for the ravens and saying, see, I told you that God's word is not true. God promised and the ravens aren't coming and I'm starving to death. He could have died there believing God was a liar. And there's a lot of Christians that are just waiting, and they want to point the finger and say, the word of God's not true, but my Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Have I not said it? Will I not do it? heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, says the Lord, will never pass away. All the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. He said that it will come to pass, because he's God. Elijah had to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm getting thirsty here. And the Lord said to him, rise up, Elijah, we're moving. I have a different plan. Some of you in your job and circumstances of your job are finding that you're in your business, things are drying up. Get before God and say, Father, is there something I need to do? Is there some step I need to take with my business? Would you speak to me and show me? Because God has promised that if we fulfill what he says to do, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Have a giving heart. Give our first fruits. He said he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And he doesn't lie. He says, wait on me and see what to do. And he will speak to us. You might be at a crossroads right now, your business. God will give you word. And I tell you, when God speaks a word, and you walk out on that word, and it's God, and it's in your business and your finances, you'll find the blessing of God in such a degree that you won't be able to contain it. Elijah said, what do I do? And he said, I want you to go down to Zarephath, which is in Zion, verse 9. When you get down there, there's a little widow woman that's going to sustain thee. Now, two things had happened. Two things were happening down here in Zarephath. Number one, God had commanded a widow woman, and she didn't even know she'd been commanded. She'd been commanded, but she didn't even know it. I find sometimes God will say to me, give this, give this, give this. If anyone else gives it, give this. He just keeps at you, and at you, reminds you. And about a month later, you get obedient. I don't know about you, but I'm not always quick. I'm one of God's slow learners. God had commanded this little woman, and she didn't even know it. And the other thing she didn't know was that God had commanded on her behalf. Maybe this little woman knew that she was near death with no nutrition and starvation of her family, and had been crying out to God, and she'd been reminding God of his promises, and she didn't know, but God had commanded a prophet to come with a word that was going to bring her abundance and blessing like she hadn't dreamed. Two commands were happening there in Zarephath. Down came the prophet. He came into the town, and there by the gate of the city was this poor little widow woman. She was dying of starvation. She had a massive two sticks for a fire. She was going to cook her last meal with two sticks. She had a handful of meal and a little bit of oil, and she had a starving family, her son, who was starving to death. And the prophet came and he said, would you get me a drink of water, please? He came and asked of her. You might be in a famine right now. You might be down to your last two sticks. You might have come to the end financially. Your business and your whole life might be in economic gloom and doom. Don't be surprised if God puts it on you to give. To give out of your lack. Because often you've got to give to prime the pump. The prophet said to her, madam, give me a glass of water, please, and a vessel I might drink. And she said, as she was going, he said, also, would you bring me a morsel of bread in your hand? Would you go and bring me some bread as well? And she got concerned. She was starving. She was dying. And she said this. She said, as the Lord God lives, I haven't got a cake, but I got a handful of meal, verse 12, in a cruse, and I'm gathering two sticks, but I might go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said, fear not, go and bring me the first cake. How typical. Isn't that typical of an evangelist? That's how the world sees the preacher. The world sees the preacher going to the widow woman and saying, madam, give me your last cake before you starve. Can you imagine the newspaper there in Zarephath? Traveling prophet, ask dying woman for last cake. the newspaper doesn't write up that within a few months that woman has a cake shop running outside of the house that is booming. She's feeding orphans and widows. They won't mention that. They just mention the naughty preacher. But praise God, God is God. Haven't you noticed God is bigger than the media? God's bigger than the media. God's bigger than the newspaper. He's bigger than Murdoch. Bigger than old Kerry Packer. God is God. Aren't you glad God's God? Aren't you glad God's God this morning? I'm so glad he is. He said, go and make me a cake. And she said, sir, I've got two sticks. And I've got this tiny little bit of, it's all I've got, this little bit of meal that fits in one hand. So I got some oil. And we're going home. We're going to get a fire. We're going to make a last little cake. And then we're going to die. Don't you know there's a famine raging in this land? Don't you know that this famine, no one has anything to eat? We're all dying. We're starving. And you ask me for the last bit. You ask me for all I've got left. And he said this, and this is the most powerful verse. In verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. But go and do as you said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and thy son. Here are two powerful things. If we're going to enter into the realm of finance, we're going to enter into a realm of blessing, into a place where God trusts us with finance, the first thing we've got to do is get fear out. I know people that say, well, I'd love to tithe, but I'm afraid that my finance for the week won't go around. I want to tell you, I'm afraid not to tithe. We tithe first. 15% of everything that comes through the ministry, in fact, more than that. We start at 15, usually it's about 20-25% of everything that comes in, and it comes out first, before anything else. Before anything else, it comes out. We, out of the ministry, what comes in through the ministry, we tithe out of our ministry through the church's missions to missions. And what Jackie and I take personally, we tithe into our local church, because the Bible says bring the tithe into the storehouse, and we believe that our tithe belongs here. First thing we have to do is get fear out, because I tell you, two things don't mix: faith and fear. You'll never be a giver if you're fearful. If you're afraid and you don't think God, you can trust God in this realm, and don't bother starting. The two mentalities. There's the mentality that says, I will hang on to things tightly, because you never know when it won't be here, and I need to, in a natural sense, I've got to hold tight and provide and so on, and that's true. The Bible says God loves a hilarious giver. Hilarious giver is one who gives and says, God, I don't even know that I'm in a position to give this, but I'm giving you first. There might be nothing left at the end of it, but God, here it is, it's yours. If all you've got for the week is your tithe, put it in, trust God. To hold it back is a statement, God, I don't trust you with finance. You're not really my source. I don't think I can trust you. God says, test me. The only place in the Bible God says, put me to the test, is in finance. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. He says, test me in this matter. But I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you shall not be able to contain it. Promise of God, he says, test me in it. We're in a series of meetings down at Marion. And one morning I got up in the morning and I said to Jackie, I said, I've got a word from the Lord. I know I've got a word from God. I said, there's some lady that put her rent in and she's in trouble. She's put her rent in the office. We're teaching them in the area of giving, the power of giving. I said, Jackie, I think this lady has given her whole rent, and she's in trouble. I said, what do you think? She said, oh, I don't know. I said, I think we're supposed to give our offering this morning to this lady. And Jackie said, well, it could be God. We're driving down there. I said, I'm hoping it wasn't God. Because there was an offering for our ministry. We needed the cash. Ask it for it when you need it. I got to the church that morning, I thought, no, that's not God. And one of the voices says, yes, it is. And I know it's not. Yes, it is. And I got up, and we're taking the offerings to the ministry through the midweek. And I got up, and I thought, oh, man. I said, look, is there a lady here that's put a whole rent in the offering? And this woman went, ah! I said, yes, it is God. It's God. I said, stop screaming, madam, and come down. She was, I said, calm down. I said, here's $100. Gave her a quick 100, a couple of prints. I said, look, this lady's put a whole rent in, and she's worried. She said, yes, I haven't told my husband. He's probably going to kill me. I said, we need to help this lady. I said, everyone that wants to give her a 50 or a 20, come down. And they started to come down. She had her hands out. The tears were pouring out of her eyes, and her nose was running, and she was a mess. And they were pumping 20s. Were you there that day? 50s. $30 notes. $11 notes. They're just putting them in. $3 coins, just pouring them into her hands. Her hands were filled with finance. It was running over, pressed down, running over. And there was this pile of money. I thought, praise God. Where goes her offering? She was loaded, crying. Then someone came and gave her a watch. And then as she was walking out, a lady went up and said, you and your husband work hard, don't you? She said, yes, we do. She said, lady said, where do you want to go for a holiday in Australia? She said, Israel. She said, I'll give you a air ticket for you and your husband to go on a holiday in Israel. I tell you. Now, I'm not saying put your rent money in this morning. The offering's already taken. Otherwise, they'll be writing a check out, working their rent out, slapping it in, and working out where they want to go for holidays. I believe we have to be sensible. But God does love a hilarious giver. He says, fear not. Don't fear in your giving. Don't fear. Get fear out. Go from a fearful giver to a faithful giver. From one who's afraid to give to one who purposes to give. From one who's timid in your giving to one who's bold. The Bible says in Genesis, is it Exodus 35, somewhere there, those whose hearts God had made willing to give came and bought into the tabernacle, bought into the temple. Let God stir your giving supernaturally. Let him take hold of your giving and begin to say, Father, I want to enter into a financial adventure. An adventure. How many want to enter a financial adventure? I'll tell you something. The financial side of the ministry is, for me, it's as exciting as going up the rows. You know, the Methodist church last night preached at an Athelstan Uniting, and these people, a bunch of them came down to find Christ, all new converts, never been in church before, most of them. And bang, bang, they're going down under the power in the Methodist church, and bodies all over the floor, had a marvelous time in the Anointing Church last night. And I love the move of God. I love to see people getting picked up and landed about five rows under the power, getting healed. I love that. But I get just as excited about being in a position to put money into missions and to put money into the starving and to put finance. God, would you trust me? I better finish this. The Bible says this. Fear not, but go and make me that little cake first. First fruits. First fruit giving. Last time I preached on giving, I talked about Cain and Abel, how Cain bought his offering in the process of time, but Abel bought of the first fruits and the fat. God loves the fat. Fortunately. think he wants me to bring it to him? Through exercise, he wants it. He wants it. I'm hanging on to it. Well, I'm having a revelation. I'm having my own revelation here, Pastor Andy. Very powerful. He says, first, bring the cake to me first. Don't go and eat your cake. Cook the cake up and bring it to me first. That little woman must have looked at her starving child with sunken eyes, face covered in skin all over the skull, looked at her poor little son that was about to die, cooked the cake, and she had a choice between giving her dying son the cake or giving it to the man of God. What a horrible choice. But she knew that it was the word of God. She showed it to the son and let him smell it. And just as he was about to bite, she took it and handed it to the man of God. She had the cake in her hand. The man of God was standing here. She had the cake. And her hand was going like this. And then at the last minute, she said, take it. Take it. I didn't want it anyway. No, she acted in obedience. Gave him the cake. And he ate the cake in front of her. What's your little boy's name? Nice lad, a bit on the skinny side. Young man, your ribs are poking out. You need to eat more. Not bad cake. You got a toothpick? By the way, have a look in that bowl of meal. She turned around. Full. Check the oil, please. Full. He said, madam, God commanded me to come here because you're going to meet me. But God also commanded me to declare to you that he's going to meet you. You see, financial blessing comes from the king's command. If you're tight, tight financially, you give in the process of time and not the first fruit, you've closed up the command of the king in the heavenly realm. You close it up with your own life. You close the windows of heaven. You bind it up. But if we take the principles of God, bring God our first fruits, our whole tithe, we give to God with a joyous heart. We say, God, it's yours. It's all yours. You can have the lot. God speaks in the heavenly realm to the angels, and he says, go and command. Go and command blessing to this family. Go and command angels. Go into that business and tell them that they've got to buy that person's product. Go to this particular company and command them to draw from this man. Go and tell this person to be involved in a business project. Go and tell that person to put money into a project. Go and tell that one to give into what they're doing. And the angels go around and they speak commands of blessing. Commands of blessing that will be directed your way. I tell you what I want. I want to hear the command of God and be obedient to act. But I also want to be a recipient where people came and they say, God told me. God told me. We were at a big crusade one week. We were giving into those meetings the end of the week. I said to Jackie, we put $1,000 into the offering this week. On the last day, I was thinking to myself, man, that is ridiculous. I'm thinking to myself, I'd have to get money on the Visa card to put the offering. A guy walked up to me and said, Tim, you're going to India, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, there's 10,000 coming in the mail this week. I thought, man, why didn't I put 2,000 in? I went home, I said, you idiot. You idiot. So I took the story and I'm nearly finished. How are we going for time, by the way? How are we doing, Ash? 5 minutes? A guy in India, a beggar, had nothing, sitting by the roadside. He had a begging bowl and a bowl of rice. That was his day's feed, was a bowl of rice. And down the road came a Maharaja on an elephant back. Rode past all the colours and everything on the elephant and all this shiny stuff, all those things they put on elephants. And they pulled up alongside with this big procession of elephants. And the Maharaja in shining silk and one of those Maharaja hats and Maharaja clothes, Maharaja watch. He walked over to the beggar. And the beggar said, hey, bakshi salam, sir. Yay, bakshi salam, sir. As I mean, he just hands something over. The Maharaja looked down this beggar, old rags, nothing. And he said, give me some of your rice. And the beggar looked at him. This man had everything. $100,000 elephant. With incredible speaker system. Gold rings in the elephant's ear. Top of the range. The LTD of elephants. Jumbo Royce, of course. And he thought, what is this guy asking me for this rice for? He's got everything. And he looked at him and he was mad. And he reached down to his bowl of rice, picked up 3 grains, handed it to him. The Maharaja said, thank you very much. Put them into his pocket and got up on the elephant and started to ride up, ride up. And the old beggar began to cry, you cheapskate! You cheapskate! And he was swearing and yelling and shouting out, and suddenly the sun glinted in the bowl. And there were 3 grains of gold the size of the rice. 3 in amongst all that rice. And suddenly it dawned on him. He began to cry, oh, if I'd given him everything! Oh, if I had not, oh, if I'd given him everything! Bible says here, the barrel of meal did not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail. Supernatural supply. And then sickness came on the son, and he died, and the man of God came over and laid himself upon that child and raised him from the dead. Resurrection power. And God said, if you're a giver, and I was looking at a number of the scriptures on givers, in one case, barrenness was gone. God said to the woman, what does this woman need? The Shunammite. They said, she's got no child. And God said, because she's given, she's going to get a child. And God said, if you're a giver, 3 things will come into your life. 3 things, I'm going to close with this. Supernatural provision. Barrenness will go. Financial barrenness, barrenness in your business, in every aspect of your life. And resurrection power will come. I want to live in the blessing of God. Anyone live in the blessing of God? I want every person in the building, I'm going to quit right now, but I want every person in this building who would say, Jesus, I am a candidate to enter into a totally new realm of finance. God, I'm a candidate to enter another dimension of finance. God, I want you to trust me. I want you to give me a revelation of the power of giving. I want you to change me in this realm. And every person this morning, just for 2 minutes, they would say, Jesus, here I am. Would you take every miserly thing out of me? Every limiting, restricting thing, and every fear? And I want you to do a revolution in my heart, in this whole realm.